With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me, as always, is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson. Hello, Katie.
Oh, hey, Keith. Are you ready to turn back time and talk about Soulja Boy Tellum's Crank That?
Sure, just don't make me do the dance. Hard to believe it's been 10 years since that song came out, and... Well, the song is actually the focus of our Coming Around Again segment, which is coming up shortly because the Billboard Pop Shop podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we've got Coming Around Again with Billboard.com senior associate editor Andrew Unterberger. Andrew will be discussing the 10th anniversary of Soulja Boy's Crank That with Sean Hyken of The Athletic. Andrew and Sean will look back on the song's unlikely success, why it was so unfairly reviled by critics and the hip-hop community at the time, and how Soulja Boy was proven by history to be ahead of his time in so many respects. So stay tuned for that in just a few moments.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, you can always tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. So let's dive into some chart chat about Crank That. Oh, boy. Well, the song spent 7 weeks at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 back in 2007 and has actually sold 5.4 million downloads in the U.S., according to Nielsen Music. That makes it the 11th biggest selling digital rap song ever. And Crank That was the first of 10 hits on the Hot 100 for Soulja Boy. He would later rack up a second and, so far, his most recent top 10 hit with Kiss Me Through the Phone back in 2009, which reached number 3.
I feel like there are a couple of ways in which this song was kind of ahead of its time.
A viral meme dance-off.
Definitely that. 100% that. And then also, it's just kind of a style that now it's like Migos... Future, yeah. Like that, you know, almost talk rapping. It's like that's what today's rap sounds like.
I wonder how much money Soulja Boy made off that track.
I hope a lot.
I hope tons.
So let's go back to 2007 and crank that, because it's time for Coming Around Again.
Now what? Soulja Boy, I'm in it. Oh. Why me crank it? Why me roll? Why me crank that Soulja Boy? That's Superman. Oh. Now why me?
Hello, and welcome to Coming Around Again, Billboard's still relatively new podcast celebrating milestone music anniversaries. And today we're going to be talking about the 10th anniversary of Crank That Soulja Boy by the titular Soulja Boy. And on the line to help us do that, we have one of the internet's, let's say, preeminent Soulja Boy scholars, Sean Hyken. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how you doing? I'm really honored that you had me come on this podcast. I get asked to do a lot of podcasts that are mostly about basketball. So when you DM'd me the other day and said, hey, you want to come on and talk about Soulja Boy? I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so when I DM'd you the other day, I think it was after game 4 of the Bulls-Celtics series, and you're primarily a Bulls writer at The Athletic. And I asked you if you wanted to come on. You said, well, you know, it kind of depends on how this series goes, but if the Bulls, you know, if they're eliminated pretty quickly, then I'll be able to talk, and I'm pretty sure they will be. And your prediction was for better or worse borne out. So that's bad news for the people of Chicago, but it's good news for us because we get to have you on. You obviously, I think you're relatively known in Twitter circles for your Soulja Boy super fandom. Would you say that you're like the biggest Soulja Boy booster among NBA Twitter? Or is there somebody kind of giving you a run for your money there?
God, I would hope so. I would hope nobody else is stepping on my turf like that. But I've been down with Soulja Boy since the beginning. I was like a senior in high school, I think, when Crank That first came out. You know, there was this girl who like I grew up in Portland, and so there was this girl who moved from Atlanta like halfway through my junior year of high school, and she was like really. She was really into like a lot of that kind of stuff, and so she was the first person that played Soulja Boy, and I was just like, at first I heard this, I was like, this is ridiculous, but then like I was looking at his Wikipedia page one day, and I saw that he made his entire album not just on Fruity Loops, but on the free demo of Fruity Loops, and so I had to respect him after that for getting so much money off of making making an album that did as well as it did, and a song that did as well as it did off of basically a free demo software. And then after that, like, when I started getting on Twitter and I would, like, retweet Soulja Boy, like, I started out as sort of, like, doing a bit, but then, you know, you sort of actually come to, like, and appreciate kind of what Soulja Boy is and, you know, his social media presence and the impact that he's had on the music industry and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you already kind of said this, but I think it's hard to almost remember now just how... What a weird song this was when it first came out. You know, I was talking to my girlfriend earlier today who listened to this song for the first time, and like maybe the first time she said it was the first time she ever consciously listened to it, although I'm sure she heard it a lot back in 2007. And it makes it kind of a weird anniversary to celebrate because, like, you know, as she was saying to me that, like, well, you know, at the time I remember the song sounding really weird, but now it just kind of sounds like everything else. And it's like it took us 10 years, but we've sort of finally caught up to Soulja Boy. The first time I heard it, I did not like the song at all. I was kind of, I don't know, my mind was blown by it, but it just didn't sound like anything else I'd heard. It was kind of the same reaction the first time I heard Lil Jon and the East Side Boys Get Low, where it's just like it was so different than everything that came before it, and it required you to make such kind of a leap from what you knew and understood popular rap music to be into sort of like a new era, and it was a major adjustment, and it sort of needed time to kind of seep its way into your bloodstream. But once it did, it was very powerful in a weird way. I mean, does that kind of line up with your memory of it?
Yeah, because I mean, at the time, you know, you're still like at least in terms of like the kind of rap that I listen to, the kind of music that I listen to. You know, you listen to a song, you'd be like, oh, well, the lyrics are good. Like, what? Like, is this? You know, what is this song saying? Like, what's it about? And this comes out of nowhere. And it's just like this weird dance with this weird like, minimalist steel drum beat, and you're just you're right. Like you said, it just sounds like nothing I ever heard before.
Sure.
Like, for a while, I didn't like it, but then, you know, it's just one of those things, you hear it so much that, like, you start to like it, and then, you know, he comes out with other songs, like, Soulja Girl, I think, is a really underrated song off of that album. Ya Trick Ya, obviously, is a classic, and it introduced A-Rab into the public consciousness, so, you know, Soulja Boy slowly kind of worked his way into the public consciousness and showed that he wasn't just, like, a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, and this was sort of, I don't know if you call it the golden age or whatever the opposite of the golden age is, but of, like, the hip-hop ringtone rap one-hit wonder, where you had rappers like, you know, like Mims and Hurricane Chris and D4L's Laffy Taffy was probably, like, the commercial pinnacle of this, where you had, you know, ringtone sales were through the roof early in the cell phone explosion, and it sounded like the rappers were almost engineering their productions to sound, you know, simplistic enough and kind of catchy and basic enough that they would translate to ringtones. And Soulja Boy, you know, he was kind of, I don't know, he was one of the last ones to kind of come out of that, and he was one of the biggest ones. But he also had, he was a star, like, kind of right away. He seemed like a star. He had the confidence of a star, certainly. Like, you know, even just on that first song, like, he already sort of acted like somebody who'd been there for a long time, who'd been around for 5 or 10 years, because he already expected you to basically know everything about him. I mean, you mentioned A-Rab already. It was one of kind of his cohorts from that period. And he just mentions, like, you know, I'm going to pass it to A-Rab, and that's like a line on the song. But, like, you've never met A-Rab before if you're hearing the song for the first time. You have no idea who that guy is. And, like, just about every lyric on this song is like that. There's some terminology in it, or there's some expression that's just totally unfamiliar, but he puts it forth like it's already part of the public vernacular. I mean, like, did you have any idea what this guy was talking about when the song first came out? Did you even understand, like, what the dance was at first?
No, I didn't, and frankly, I still don't really fully, like, I obviously the Superman part's easy, but, like, the, sure. like, the foot stuff at the beginning is complicated. I've never really fully mastered it. So I mean, as far as his whole thing, like it, you know, you mentioned that line, "Pass it to Arab." There's another song on that album called "Pass it to Arab," where he was just kind of bringing all this stuff in, like Bathing Apes is referenced on that song. There's another song called Bathing Apes. So it was sort of like he basically made a concept album about, you know, just whatever it was he was doing in his life, and people bought into it.
Yeah, it does seem like, you know, it's that song and like 11 spin-off versions of it, basically. But yeah, I mean, he sort of was, I guess he was unprepared for this. I mean, he was only 16 years old at the time, and you know, he got signed by Mr. Kalapark, and they rushed out a video for it, and it's clear that he doesn't have that much to say. He's not that technically skilled or proficient in any meaningful way. But what he does have is a lot of hustle, and what he does have is a lot of just general kind of enthusiasm, and that carries across for 11 tracks on his you know, sort of absurdly titled SoulJaBoyTellHim.com debut album. And yeah, as you mentioned earlier, I think Ya is sort of like it's his one sort of breakout song from the Crank That Soulja Boy mold, but and it's already him like responding to being famous, even though he wasn't famous yet. But it's one of the most perplexing songs that I'd ever heard at that time. It's basically just him screaming at people who come up to him asking for autographs and stuff. He's got an Arabs there, but we don't really know who he is yet. But it's unintelligible almost. But it's you know, it gets in your head and you kind of can't shake it. And so did you listen to this album when it came out? Did you think he was going to be more than a one hit wonder at the time?
Well, I listened to the whole album just sort of as a joke after I read that he had made the whole thing on Fruity Loops. I was like, okay, I need to hear this whole album. But, like, yeah, there's just, like, a certain charm to it. Like,
sure.
Like you said, A-Rab, you know, the song with A-Rab, like, he's talking about, like, going around and everybody's asking for an autograph. And it's like, dude, like, when you made this album, you put this album out, nobody knew who you were. Who was asking for Soulja Boy's autograph? And, like, he had a song called Sidekick that was about calling people on the Sidekick phone, which everybody had when I was in high school. I never had one. I wanted one, but like everybody had Sidekick phones, so it was like relatable to people I went to high school with. He had another song called Snap and Roll that was the exact same song as Crank That, but with electric guitar instead of steel drums. It was really cohesive.
Yeah, the cohesive is one word for it, certainly. And it's true that, you know, the album does sort of it follows its own internal logic, and listening to it now, it does. I don't know. There is something there, certainly. Not a lot of people seem to see it at the time, at least from the critical perspective, the internet perspective. This was sort of like the last moment, I guess, in hip hop where, like, sort of the burden of proof was on the rap star. Like today, you know, someone like Lil Uzi Vert, like, I don't know if he's as unintelligible as Soulja Boy was 10 years ago, but he's certainly very difficult for kind of old school hip hop heads to wrap their head around. But there's sort of this assumption now that if you're a veteran hip-hop fan and you don't like the hot new rapper, then the problem's with you. Not the problem's not with the rapper. The problem's just that you're getting old, or that you have too kind of calcified an idea of what a hip-hop star is supposed to be. And it's sort of it's on you to make the mental adjustment. But back then, the backlash from like the hip-hop purists was pretty severe against Soulja Boy. I remember, like, you know, Ice-T was denouncing him, and anybody who bothered to talk about the song or the album was going to talk about it negatively. I think the one person that sort of was sort of hip to what Soulja Boy was doing right away was actually Kanye, who basically said that, like, hey, like, this kid's doing it on his own. He's like he's expanding the vernacular. He's like inventing a dance. Like, this is what hip hop is. There's no rules to this. It's just like who's got it, and Soulja Boy's got it. Do you think that Soulja Boy would have had an easier time today if he came out with this song?
Probably, because, well, I mean, it's kind of hard to have that conversation because pretty much everything on the radio right now, as far as rap goes, like, sounds like Soulja Boy. Like,
very,
I mean, I'm talking about, like, some of the newer guys. I'm not talking about guys that have been out for a few years, like Drake or Kendrick Lamar or whoever. Like, I'm talking about, like, a guy like, you know, Young Thug and Lil Yachty and Lil Uzi Vert, and, you know, some of these guys who are just coming out in the last couple of years. Like, Soulja Boy is so influential on just their whole sound, and, it's, you know, it's really minimalist and, you know, it's very DIY, but, you know, I agree with what you just said with Kanye kind of being the one that was like, look, this guy has found a lane for himself, he's doing what he's doing, and it may not, like, and I actually heard Jay-Z say something, this was years ago, I think this was, like, when Turn My Swag On came out, he was saying, like, you know, as an old guy, like, I don't really relate to this, but it's not for me, and I get that, like, he's not coming out here saying, oh, Soulja Boy sucks, like, I hate it.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought that whole Ice-T thing was pretty funny. Like, and I just this morning, just in preparation for doing this, I rewatched the Soulja Boy the movie, which is one of the greatest documentaries of all time for any of your listeners who haven't seen it. But they did a whole section on the Soulja Boy ICD. Everyone thought that the way Soulja Boy responded to it was he just came out and said, look, I'm 17 years old. I made money so I can help feed my family. Like, why is this old guy hating on me? And, like, I thought that was a lot more valid than any complaint that Ice-T had about, like, oh, well, the lyrics aren't up to the standards of Rakim or whatever.
Yeah, and you know, Soulja Boy, the documentary, is like it's interesting for a number of reasons. So this movie came out like, you know, 5-6 years ago, and I think it was documenting the making of the DeAndre Way, which I think was his third album. I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong about any of this, but it was kind of Soulja Boy actually, even though we sort of predicted him when it first came out to be a one hit wonder, he actually did have a couple other pretty sizable hits. You mentioned one of them, Turn My Swag On, Kiss Me Through the Phone was another one that was nearly as big as Crank That. But by the time of the third album, sales were starting to dip, popularity, you know, sort of the internet had kind of caught up with him, maybe passed him by. And the general like narrative of that movie isn't very positive for Soulja Boy's career, but it does seem to be the movie that kind of cemented his cult in a way, like because he's so positive throughout it. He's so single-minded in his pursuit of just kind of getting over that, even though it's actually kind of like the story of a failed album, it makes him seem even more like an icon than he would have been otherwise. So what about Soulja in that movie kind of spoke to you and like made you realize this guy is like a figure worth paying attention to?
Well, first of all, what you said, where, you know, there was actually, they addressed in the movie that the DeAndre Way album sold like 13,000 albums.
Yeah, so some terrible number.
The first week that it came out. And then he basically comes right back off that and says, yeah, well, I have however many million Twitter followers because that matters more. Like he's able to spin just anything like that. And also, he kind of reminds me of, you know, somebody else who's been in the news lately.
I'm sure you'd appreciate that comparison.
I have a couple of thoughts about the Soulja Boy.
Oh, please, yeah.
Obviously, I own it. I haven't seen it in a number of years, but I just watched it this morning. Like, first of all, whoever was directing it and decided how much of this 90 minutes they were going to allocate to which part of his career, they allocated a full 5 minutes of the movie to just demonstrating how Soulja Boy's diamond Lamborghini chain for the remote control works. That was a major plot point of the movie, was just that chain. I liked how, like, in the beginning they had, like, the subtitles were in the style of YouTube comments, which I thought was a good throwback to kind of how he got his start. I thought a lot of the stuff about his falling out with A-Rab was interesting. I thought, the scenes where he was, like, getting chased at his hotel by fans, it's like, I feel like those were probably scenes, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, and you know, the YouTube stuff kind of gets at, like, the main kind of driving force behind Soulja Boy and his success and his enduring influence, which is sort of... I think Megan Garvey wrote this in an MTV piece about him, but like that the key with Soulja Boy was always virality above all else. So like, if it's an idea that catches on and it spreads and people are aware of it, doesn't matter whether it's a good idea or not. Doesn't matter whether it's an innovative idea. Doesn't matter whether it's a particularly hip hop idea. But if people are paying attention, if people are talking to their friends about it, if people are spreading it, retweeting it, whatever, then it's a successful idea. And that's sort of endured for Soulja Boy throughout his like many business practices, throughout his many albums, throughout his many guest appearances, mixtapes, all this stuff that's become part of the Soulja Boy empire. And he is still like a very successful, I don't know if you want to call him like a magnate or a businessman or an artist or what, but whatever he is, he still finds ways to be part of the conversation. He still seems to be making money. So by his measurements, he's certainly a success. And also, like, as we've kind of talked about already, like the world sort of caught up with him in the meantime. Like, you know, people like Lil B and then the Odd Future crew, like, they sort of took a lot of the lessons, and they actually got early cosigns from Soulja Boy, and they sort of took off with it, and they took his stuff in new directions, maybe a little bit more artistically satisfying directions. But he was definitely onto something. I mean, what would you say is, like, the key thing that Soulja Boy was ahead of the game on?
Well, I think just the internet, really.
Sure.
I mean, I read the same Megan Garvey piece that you were just talking about. He's not really, like, I don't think of him as much of, like, as a rapper as I do, like, he's basically an internet content creator. Like, everything he does, like, every one of his tweets, every one of his Instagram posts, every one of his Vine, back when Vine was a thing, he had, like, the Vanessa Carlton Vine, which was, like, the pinnacle of, like, the internet in history or whatever, but, like, every single one of his things is like, people are just going to retweet this thing, and it's not like connected. Usually when you think about like an artist, you're thinking about like, okay, this new album that comes out, how does it relate to their last album? How does this relate to like their body of work overall? How does this relate to like, you know, other public things they've done? Every single little like thing that Soulja Boy does is like its own thing. And like, I think if you ask Soulja Boy to like name every one of his albums that he's put out, or every one of his mixtapes, or even every song on like his last mixtape that he put out before whatever his current one is, I don't think he could do it, because I think he just kind of like will put something out there and then he will never think about it again. He's not really focused on like building a whole body of work as much as just like whatever he's doing right now. This is the thing that he's promoting, and then when he does his next thing, that other thing isn't really going to be what, because like he doesn't really talk about Crank That anymore. He doesn't really talk about any of like the old stuff. So like, it's just kind of a different approach from what you see from, you know, most artists in hip hop or other.
Yeah, he's got something like 40 mixtapes out, right? It's some ungodly number.
Yeah, he's got a lot. He's got a lot. I can't even keep up with all of them anymore. And frankly, like they've gotten like the ones that I heard recently have not been very good. I don't know why. I think part of it is because he's just kind of like, I don't know if you follow him on Snapchat at all, but like
I do not, unfortunately.
Every time he posts on Snapchat, he's either in his car or at his house smoking a blunt, listening to his own music. I'm pretty sure he only listens to his own music, but maybe that's just because he's trying to promote it on Snapchat that he always has it playing in the background. But I mean, like, he actually listens to a wide variety of music, and we just don't know about it. But I'm pretty sure that he, in his day-to-day life, only listens to his own music now, and as a result, like, he isn't getting these new outside influences, and so his music has kind of gotten stagnant. Like, it's pretty formulaic now if you listen to any of his recent stuff.
Yeah, and he does sort of seem like somebody who doesn't listen to a lot of outside music. He seems like somebody who's, he is his own universe. Like, you wouldn't, it'd be hard to like imagine him even like listening to like old Lil Wayne albums, or, you know, forget about stuff like, you know, the Chronic or Reasonable Doubt or anything like that. Like, he definitely doesn't seem like he's beholden to the classics, but he also doesn't seem like he's really in conversation with anything else that's going out right now, aside from the people that he influenced himself and that he helped come up. But it does seem like in the last few years specifically, there has been kind of like a sea change in the critical opinion on Soulja Boy. And it helps that, you know, that Drake is sampling him for like his own We Made It freestyle, that, you know, Beyonce is basically singing along to Turn My Swag On, the most acclaimed album of 2016, like stuff like that obviously helps. But you also get, you know, we talked about the Megan Garvey piece for MTV. Drew Millard wrote something great for Complex, talking about how he's the father of modern hip hop, basically. And it's all true, but it all would have been totally unimaginable in 2007. Is it just that enough time has passed?
Well, you know what I would compare it to in kind of a weird way is that, like, if you go back and read, like, old issues of, like, old Rolling Stone and old, you know, Queen magazine back from, like, the 60s and 70s, those magazines trashed, like, Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd.
For sure.
And, you know, those magazines all hated, like, ABBA when they came out. And then, you know, as time went on, those acts kind of endured, and then suddenly, like, you go back and, like, I think Rolling Stone gave Nevermind 3 stars when it first came out, and now, of course, whenever it gets reissued or it has an anniversary, everybody talks about how it's, like, one of the greatest albums of all time, it's one of the most acclaimed albums of all time. It wasn't that acclaimed critically at the time. Like, I think any of it, and it's not just Soulja Boy, like, some of these, like, you know, more mainstream rappers, like, you know, even back as late, as early as, like, 2007 or 2008, Pitchfork was giving, like, T.I. and Young Jeezy albums, like, 8 scores of 7 and 8, when you think that publication like Pitchfork would be like, oh, we're only into like really lyrical underground hip-hop. They were like recognizing that, like, they don't want to be the people who didn't like Led Zeppelin in 1972 when people look back on it, you know, 20 years later.
So yeah, Soulja Boy, the Led Zeppelin of 2007. You heard it here first. Yeah, so because it is the NBA playoff season, and because there's, I would say, like a non-zero chance that we're about to get the first series between the Washington Wizards and the Cleveland Cavaliers since 2008. We got to talk a little bit about the Soulja Boy, Deshaun Stevenson, LeBron James feud from 2008. Now, for those who aren't Soulja Boy obsessives or aren't necessarily devout followers of Eastern Conference basketball, this was this bizarre feud that kind of bubbled up in the 2008 postseason. Because Deshaun Stevenson, who was a role player for the Washington Wizards, said something disparaging about LeBron James, called him overrated, I think. And LeBron fired back by saying, oh, that's like Jay-Z something, saying something about, or sorry, it's like, that's like Soulja Boy saying something bad about Jay-Z, which sort of gives you a nice indication of where Soulja Boy was in the hip-hop hierarchy at the time. What do you remember of this feud? What does it tell us about Soulja Boy, and what did you think of Soulja Boy's own response to it?
Well, I mean, I thought it was great that, like, Deshaun Stevenson then invited Soulja Boy to perform at halftime of one of those Cavs Wizards games. But I mean, yeah, Soulja Boy was like, I don't care that, like, LeBron and Jay-Z and whoever are saying stuff about me. I'm getting money. I'm selling records. Like, Soulja Boy doesn't really care if, you know, the old hip-hop heads respect him. He cares about if he's getting money, if the kids like his music, if he has Twitter followers, if he has YouTube hits, if he has all this stuff. You know, frankly, I don't know if you saw, I entered the results of the Big Three draft a couple of days ago, but Deshaun Stevenson is actually on one of the teams of this new 3-on-3 league that I assume is starting, and so I'm really hoping that, like, if the Deshaun Stevenson, I forget the name of it, but, like, the Deshaun Stevenson Big Three team, if they make the playoffs, like, they need to invite Soulja Boy
yes.
to perform at a playoff game.
Most definitely. Well, do you think we'll get to see a Soulja Boy appearance if the Cavs and Wizards meet in the conference finals? You know, kind of get that old mojo back.
I don't know, but here's the thing. Now I feel like LeBron would probably say, oh, yeah, I'm down with Soulja Boy. I've been down with Soulja Boy the whole time. Because, LeBron's whole thing is, like, he's always really desperate to, like, and I'm not saying this in a negative way, because I'm a huge LeBron fan and supporter and stuff, but, like, he wants to make, you know, be aligned with what, you know, people think is cool. Like, you know, you see he was, like, on Kendrick Lamar early, he was on Drake early. Now I feel like he's going to, even though he said whatever he said about Soulja Boy back in, like, 2008 when the Cavs played the Wizards, he's probably, now if you ask him about Soulja Boy, he'd be like, I've always liked Soulja Boy, so I'm a huge fan of Soulja Boy. Like, my kids love it, or whatever, like, maybe LeBron's going to be inviting Soulja Boy to perform this time.
Yeah, right. I think even back then, part of Soulja Boy's response to LeBron was saying, like, hey, man, like, I've seen you on the internet doing that dance. Like, there's video out there, so, like, don't try to stunt on me. So if you had to come up with a 2017 basketball equivalent of Soulja Boy, who would that be?
JaVale, obviously.
Oh, JaVale,
you know,
okay.
Or JaVale, either one. Well, I actually think JaVale is really the one, especially now that he's, like, on the Warriors and actually playing, and he's going to, you know, probably be a contributing player on a championship team, because for years and years, like, JaVale was a joke, and he was just like, oh, you know, he does the he does the Shaq and a Fool stuff, and, like, he has that video of him with the Wizards running back on defense the other way, or all this kind of stuff, and he's just kind of a punchline around the league, but he's just kind of stuck around, stayed in the league somehow, just because, you know, the guy who's 7'2" and that athletic is never, you know, somebody's always going to be willing to give him a shot. And then, you know, now he's on the Warriors and he's actually playing real minutes. And, you know, everybody has to say, okay, even people who, like, were making fun of him before have to say, okay, now he's actually, like, a productive NBA player.
Yeah, for sure. So we just need to wait for that Soulja Boy on the Warriors type moment, I guess. And I do have to say that it did my black heart good to see Deshaun Stevenson actually win a ring before LeBron James, in fact, against LeBron James, as one of the Dallas Mavericks in that amazing 2011 finals. And I'm sure that was vindication for Soulja Boy in some way, shape, or form.
Have you heard Soulja Boy's song about Stephen Curry called Stephen Curry?
No. Does it go, you know, Stephen Curry, Stephen Curry, Stephen Curry?
Yes, that's exactly how it goes.
All right, well, I'll listen to it to see what kind of subtleties I'm missing, but I'm glad I get the general gist of it.
I mean, it was actually funny, like, after it came out last season, like, during the 73-win season, and obviously Soulja Boy is not a Stephen Curry fan. He was just like, hey, this is what the Heat's like right now. I'm going to wear a Stephen Curry jersey in the video and do a song about Stephen Curry. And then they asked Steph Curry, like, if he listens to the song, and he's like, yeah, he said my name a lot in the song, but it wouldn't be on my playlist.
Probably not, no. I don't know. What kind of rap is Stephen Curry listening to? Do we know for a fact? Is it Bay Area stuff?
I don't know. Probably. I really hope, like, I mean, I've actually, you know, they actually do a good job. Like, I've covered the last couple of finals, and they've actually done a good job of, like, getting E-40 to perform at halftime,
right,
like, those finals games in Oakland. So, like, he probably listens to, like, Mac Dre and Keith Sneak, stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll do further research into that. We'll see if we can get a Spotify playlist out of them. We'll see if Soulja Boy's on it. Sean Hyken, thank you so much for appearing on Coming Around Again. Thank you so much for taking the time. I'm sorry that it came at the Bulls' expense, but, you know, their loss is our gains. So thank you so much.
And this was fun.
Hey, Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.